Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tally the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Amber Thorne, and Amber Thorne is a meditation teacher and a healer. Hello and welcome, Amber.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you so much.
It's really lovely to have you on the show today, because from what I know of you, it's just that you've got such a beautiful, calm, relaxed energy. And I love even the way you talk, so I can hear that you're a meditation teacher because it's quite relaxing just to listen to your voice. So that's really lovely to have you on here. But I'm going to dive straight in with regards to this whole idea of being a healer and getting involved with meditation, because a lot of people are talking about mindfulness now. And I know it's nothing new for me. I've been in the mindfulness industry for the last 20 years. But what got you into the mindfulness industry? And why would you call yourself a healer? So what is that? What's that kind of background for you? Just if you let me know a little bit about that.
Thank you. Well, what happened was I learnt meditation as an adult during my career as a police officer, and I was really stressed at the time and really unhappy, and experiencing stress and depression, and it was recommended to me to learn meditation. So I tried various different types of meditation, and they all helped to some degree. And yet it was actually towards the end of my career in the police service in 2017 when I came across a meditation technique called Ascension, and I found that it was really powerful, from my sleep issues being sorted to experiencing more focus, clarity, presence, stillness, my intuition heightened. And so it was actually towards the end of my police career that I really took meditation to another level with, like, you know, wouldn't go a day without it because I just found it was so profound and so powerful. But I've been open to, you know, meditations for years, and yeah, found that they all can help. They're all of benefit, and there's a lot out there.
You know what's interesting? What's the difference with Ascension meditation? So how would you say it's different? Because you have different types of meditation. You can do mindfulness, and then you can also do visualization. So just for people that don't know, if you can just explain what the difference is there.
Well, for me, Ascension is about changing the relationship with your mind, bringing you back to your true nature. So for some people, there's different ways of describing your natural state of being. Mm-hmm. So that awareness, essentially, that just being fully here in the now. And it helps you to create a space between the thoughts that we have and the drifting off in thinking to ultimately experience in different states of consciousness as well. So it's a technique that it's actually becomes a way of life for many people, because when you realize how much when I realized how much I was actually living from the mind and thoughts and thinking and not really being here, and seeing the difference of my effectiveness, the difference of my conversations and the difference of my life, the quality of my life from ascending. It was just different to just experiencing more calm or you know, it's a practice that I found that wasn't just effective in those 20 minutes of eyes closed meditating. It was actually more about how that investing that 20 minutes, for example, impacted on the rest of my day, the quality of my day, in so many different ways.
No, you know, that's beautiful. And the reason I answered that question, because there is so many different types of meditation. And for me, it's changed my life as well. I can't get up in the morning. If I don't meditate, I feel like I'm missing something, and it plays with my energy. And sometimes I even use it, like before I go and do a speaking gig, I'll just find somewhere to quiet my mind. And I only do something like 10 minutes a day every morning, but if I'm doing a speaking gig, I'll do it before. And it just helps me to think clearly, because sometimes our mind is so cluttered, isn't it? You've got so much racing around in your mind that you might have problems focusing. So it's so interesting that you mentioned that for you, meditation has helped with regards to your sleep and also depression. So I'm going to go back a little bit, because you know, you did have your life before, you were life as a police officer, and it's such a transition from being a police officer to now being a meditation teacher and a healer. So I want to go back, and I'm going to ask you, because I do like when real stories are nitty gritty, I wanted you to go back to to tell me maybe a time as a police officer when you just thought, you know what, I need to stop. So when was that moment and what happened? Could you explain that to me, please?
Sure. So I would say it was about halfway through my career. So I served 15 years in total in the police service. So about halfway through, when I had suffered PTSD and I realised that I needed to get some help, and the guidance that I was given was to take antidepressants and have six counselling sessions to decide whether or not I can continue to be a police officer. And that for me was a shock. And I thought that I was going to get help to clear the trauma, to clear the, you know, to go back to how I was before. And it was then, through going to occupational health and receiving that response, that I saw that, wow, I need to take this into my own hands further and really look at how I can help myself to overcome this, because it seemed, you know, it wasn't what I was looking for. I wasn't looking to just you know, cover the top of, you know, cover address the symptoms. I actually wanted to clear the PTSD. And so it was then, and you know, I'm open and willing to try different things, and I did try the antidepressants, and very quickly, so within a week or so, I'd felt worse, and I realized that wasn't for me. And I know that for some people listening, they are managing on antidepressants and that's what's getting them through. It just didn't work for me. So then I looked into natural and alternative ways of healing and clearing my system of the medication, which just didn't feel right at all. It just didn't feel right in my otherwise healthy body. And so that's where I tried all kinds of things, from breath work, which was amazing and cleared the anxiety that I had, to EMDR, which cleared the trauma. What else was there? There was all kinds of different complementary therapies. And what I found was that we can absolutely heal. We can absolutely heal, and we can do that by really taking a pause. The natural tendencies sometimes for many of us when we're in a high stress role with lots of responsibilities, big mortgage to pay and so forth, is I need something to fix this symptom now. And in that case, I went to the doctor and the recommendation was antidepressants. And in a way, I see that it totally served me that I had such a bad reaction to the antidepressants, because it got me thinking, hang on, what am I doing here? As opposed to potentially, you know, stuffing the trauma down and not actually, and just carrying on going back, you know, on patrol and so forth. So I believe ultimately that everything serves, and it's what led me to actually begin studying. So I then in my free time began studying for diplomas and qualifications in some of the complementary therapies that I found were really profound and powerful for me, and really wanting to help people to actually get quicker results in overcoming trauma, overcoming injuries, because I also injured myself on duty too. And so yeah, I think that's the best way to sum it up, really, is that.
Can I dial back a little bit? Because I kind of hear you and understand that transition, and I totally understand the antidepressants. I know there's a lot of side effects sometimes, so it's great that your body was able to recognise that it needed something alternative. And as you said, it's not for everyone necessarily, but alternative therapy was something that worked for you. But I want to dial back to exactly kind of what led you to PTSD. I kind of want to go back to maybe a moment or something that happened as you were a police officer. What is it that was going on at those particular dark times that transformed you to that? Could you explain that to me, please?
Yes, so it was an incident on patrol when I was sent out on single patrol on my own, and I dealt with a group of teenagers, and very quickly escalated, and I had to call for backup and get help. So in a nutshell, it was from that incident which triggered that.
Oh, okay. So what happened with regards to the incident? What did they attack you or what happened? Sorry, go on.
Yes, sure. So it was a group who were reported by shopkeepers as shoplifting, and it was in restraining them when it all got out of hand. And so I wouldn't say that they attacked me. I would say it was through getting away. They were trying to get away from me. Mm-hmm. And one person and a group of teenagers and a huge crowd circling around you, just got really intense and really stressful. And I would say that it was through in attempting to restrain one of them that it all kicked off.
And was that one of the most, was that kind of for you the last straw, or prior to that, were there other incidents that happened that caused you that stress enough, or was it that incident that said, you said, you know what, you felt unprotected, you know, because you had to call for backup and you wanted more help and that is it, you don't want to do this anymore. So or was there prior incidents that led up to that stage?
It was that incident on its own, but it wasn't at that time, it wasn't that I didn't want to, that I felt that I didn't want to do this anymore. Yeah. Not at all. I just wanted to get to the bottom of it, of having the symptoms of PTSD, not sleeping well and flashbacks and so forth. So, it wasn't then that I felt I don't want to do this anymore. It was then I just thought, I actually want to clear this, then want to get help to return back to how I was confident out and about before.
Yeah. So when you say with regards to the sleeping, that, you know, you had struggled sleeping, was that fear or was that anxiety? Because that must have really affected you. So what used to go on there was were you having bad dreams or good dreams? What was going on with that? Or was it just a poor sleep pattern?
It was really strange. It was like, after the incident, it was like sometimes I could still hear the sounds and the commotion that was going on, but yet I was in a completely different location. Wow. So it was still hearing things. What else was there? And then it was with taking the the antidepressants that triggered all kinds of nightmares that didn't actually make sense.
Yeah.
And some of them weren't that incident at all. It was just made up stuff that the mind made up from the chemicals in these in the medication. So that's probably the best way that I could describe it, really.
Now that's really interesting, because there could be people listening that are on antidepressants, or there could be people listening that are struggling with sleeping for various different reasons. And it's interesting having the job as, you know, as a police officer, and one would say probably is one of the most stressfulest jobs that you could have. So it's understandable to have gone through what you've gone through. But I just wanted to understand from another level what you were going through to have that transformation. Because I think it's always important to find out what happened before that led you onto this transformation. So that other people can know, you know, you can heal through this. Because if you were having those dreams and you were hearing those voices, obviously the mind was busy, or there's lots of anxiety. And I think it's very common, isn't it, for people to have bad dreams or to hear things or to feel anxious about that. I think it's more common than not, I do feel a lot, because it's just the things that we don't talk about as humans, do we? We don't discuss this, and sometimes it's fear. But with regards to that transition, you said that meditation really helped you with that and helped you to really relax the mind. So did that take a long time to get there? So you sleeping well? So what was the kind of time period that it happened, and how did it happen in terms of doing that, so that you thought, okay, I've got to do this every single day? So what was that transition to really helping you with regards?
Yeah, sure. So first it was the EMDR that cleared the trauma. So if you can imagine that working front line as a police officer, there were frequently intense and stressful situations, but I had never had an incident where I'd walked away from it, and I could still for weeks or however long it was, that still hearing the sounds and things coming back to me, and you know, I'd moved on. But something had happened with that, where it's like some kind of stuck memory that was still processing and hadn't cleared. So that's probably the best way that I could describe that. And so it was the EMDR that cleared the trauma, where I felt absolutely fine again to go back out on patrol and continue as before. But then it was the meditation, it was the ascension that where, you know, work got really stressful and busy again, and also my personal life as well, experiencing challenges with, you know, selling my home and all of that. It was ascension that was the key thing, that I noticed that just the weekend of the course that I went on, the first fear course it's called, the first evening was the first time in years that I slept, I would describe as properly. I mean, we all seem to have an idea of what we think is a good night's sleep. And we can almost limit ourselves in some ways when we think of different things, what we perceive as normal. But it was so powerful, and I felt nourished and refreshed. I was like, is that what a real good night's sleep is meant to be? Because also I did shift work and so forth. So I always wondered if I ever really knew about, you know, good quality sleep and all of, you know, proper rest and so forth. So yes, it was. So you're asking about the transition. I would say it was realizing that actually now I've got the qualifications, after clearing the trauma, I've got the qualifications to help people not to go through what I had to go through for so long, and to experiencing that and finding that there was a lot more than reducing stress, experiencing more peace and sleeping better. There was a spiritual component that ascension brought for me that I found was really profound, around the return to unity and oneness, and the teaching of the one, essentially, which the Ashaya's ascension is about, the teaching of the one.
And it sounds also like there was a real shift in energy, like you said, that weekend was the first time you had a decent night's sleep.
Yeah.
because you know, that sometimes I feel, for me, for example, just like even telling a story, I've heard different people that have come onto Real Stories, or people that have done, that have spoken or done speaking gigs, and the minute you kind of share with somebody what you're going through, and if it is through meditation or if it is through the power of words, it's like an energetic shift. It's like, because we're holding stuff, we hold energy, don't we? And we hold, it sounds to me like with the anxiety and the sleep, that you were holding all of that energy, and it was almost like you hadn't let go of it. But the moment you started doing the course, you let go. And I suppose it's probably the amalgamation of things. You said you had counselling beforehand, didn't you? And then into doing the because it's probably an amalgamation, isn't it? It's just a shift happens slowly. Nothing happens automatically, does it? But that's really powerful with regards to shifting the trauma and being able to do that. And the breath work is powerful as well, isn't it? So with the when you were doing the breath work on that weekend, how long was the course? How long did it take before you started saying, "Wow, this is amazing"? When was that kind of that moment where you thought, "Wow"?
So it was, I would say halfway through that I really saw that, my goodness, the power of the breath, the ability to breathe deeply and thoroughly can clear so much stress and get rid of the anxiety. It was just like through a simple natural technique that, you know, that just needed some guidance on how to do it properly.
That's amazing. No, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. So as you look back now, you know, you're moving on and you're in this world and you're now helping other people to heal, and you're as a meditation teacher. As you look back, what would you say you're grateful for?
Everything. Absolutely everything. All that has happened has happened for me. And I feel that, you know, where you mentioned at the beginning about my calmness and gentleness and so forth, I feel that it was a blessing for me to serve in such an environment in the police service, to really be able to see what people go through and see what people experience. And it really just takes your compassion to another level. And I, you know, I love to serve the community and to help people. And so, yeah, it's just, yeah, there's nothing but understanding and seeing that it's all helped me to serve, and to, it's part of my journey. What I went through is so that I can help so many more people not to have to go through what I went through, and to heal quicker and faster and in gentler ways as well, in very gentle ways. I think that people need to know that you don't need to feel more pain to heal pain.
That's interesting. You don't need to feel more pain to heal pain. And it's that's an interesting thing to say, actually, in terms of how, because sometimes it's like, it's not until you feel the pain that you recognise that you have to heal the pain as well, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have to, because a lot of us, when you think about the people that go into the self-development industry, there's a lot of people that have gone through a lot themselves that draws them to that industry, or that draws them to learn how to be a coach. Yeah. They're normally coming from that pain point, aren't they? And it's interesting, we always say, because someone's asked, a coach said this once, said they want to catch them before, a coach said this to me once, because I do a lot of work with the burnouts, and I want to catch people before they get there. But a lot of people don't even realise they're there. That's what I realised, because for me, yeah, I went through the burnout, but it wasn't until I was learning about the burnout, I was too busy working to actually realise that's what you're going through. And it sounds to me like, with regards to you, with the, you know, the PTSD, you were in that, when you're in it, you don't always see it. And it's when you get through the other side, you start to see, my God, that was the pain I was going through. But you can sometimes get so used to the pain when you're in something that becomes normalized. And then when you come out the other side and you really heal, you're able to look back when you're in a light place and say, oh my God, I was in a dark place, or that was dark, or that was hard, or however you want to describe it. So that's really interesting what you just said there. That's what I just pick up on, because it's how we kind of see things in a different way. But moving forward, Amber,
yeah,
you know, what are you kind of, what are your goals now in terms of helping people through their trauma and helping people to heal, and also using the breath work to help people to get through it? So what are your goals moving forward with your business, with what you're doing now? What's the future for you?
Sure. So I now do this full time with teaching ascension and helping people who have an injury or a condition, helping them to overcome their pain and to ultimately heal their pain and restore their health. And yeah, just to clarify what I said around you don't need to feel more pain to heal your pain. I had an experience where I went to have acupuncture, and I had it many times before, and I was okay with needles. I used to give blood, and there was one time when I had the acupuncture treatment, and the needle went in, and it was so painful that the tears just went flushing out of my eyes. Now, for me, sometimes it can take a while for the tears, you know, if I'm upset, sometimes it builds up, you can feel the energy rising, I'm about to cry or whatever. Okay. This just came gushing out. And it was in that moment, it was so unbearable that I told myself there must be a gentler way to heal my pain. And then what unfolded after that was the discovery of Qigong. And that is the movement of physical gentle movements, that as you move, the particular Qigong style that I found helped with healing pain. Yeah. It's called it's the Dayan Qigong system. And I found that with these gentle movements, they activate different acupuncture points across the body. And not only did they reduce the pain, but I found that they realigned my spine and my posture. They improved my posture. They helped. So that's what I mean. That's what I meant in relation to not having to feel even that you don't have to feel more pain to heal pain. And that it was through that experience that I thought, well, hang on, if I don't need to have these needles and to be in extreme pain to reduce it, and there's other ways of still activating my acupuncture points and my, you know, and restoring my health, then what else is there that can help people who've been through already awful experiences in the past that actually want a gentler way of moving forward?
You know what, that's a really good example. Actually, you've just given a really good example there, to clarify what you've just said, because I can relate to that totally. I love Qigong, and I discovered Qigong, you know, because I used to dance before, and I discovered it, and I felt like this is like spiritual dancing. That's how I see Qigong. Mm-hmm. Because you're kind of relaxed in your body, but at the same time you're aware of how your body is moving, and there are points when you feel like you're releasing and letting go. And there are all these techniques. And it's interesting, I was just thinking myself, because I hate needles, absolutely hate needles. And, you know, there's a time that I had to have a biopsy. And I remember not feeling a thing. And the reason I wasn't able to feel a thing, I was explaining this to my cousin the other day, was because I just took myself to that place. So when you are able to meditate, or you do learn how to meditate and just really clear your mind and take yourself to another place, mentally you remove yourself from what is the physical and you're able to escape. So I think that's probably what you were saying when you were saying that you regards to pain. I mean, I was probably thinking from another perspective, because I do a lot of work when I work with light and shadow with people. When you remove the blocks, you kind of have to discover what that shadow is before you can remove and come to the light. So you have to, because no point just dancing in the light. Was dancing light's beautiful, but no point just being in the light unless you can understand where you're coming from. And I suppose that's what I was meaning when you were saying that. So, but you explained it beautifully when you explained about not able to feel no more pain, because meditation is so powerful that you can escape it. But you won't know those tools, I suppose, as that's what I meant in the self-development industry, or people enter it unknown, with the unknown, not really realizing how this is going to impact their life in a positive way, what the change is. And I suppose that transition is like from you, for example, as a police officer, entering that, going through all that pain of your PTSD and going through all the pain that you went through with your sleep, and then having this beautiful moment of revelation where you realize that, you know what, I feel good. And it's just as simple as breathing. Simple, because it is, isn't it? And I feel like in the Western world, there is so much toxicity, isn't there? As I always say, it's great to look to the Indigenous people, because if we just take away a lot of the rubbish and we dive deep, it's the simple things that we can help to heal ourselves. And our minds are so powerful. And a lot of people don't realise how powerful they are. So we can kind of heal ourselves. Like Louise Hayes says, you know, heal thyself and heal, you can heal your life. And there's, you know, that whole idea of affirmations and actually believing in yourself and believing in the positivity can change your way of thinking and change your mind. So I definitely do strongly believe that. So it's a beautiful way that you just kind of explained it. And so I think people need to understand, because not everybody's in the same space with regards to spirituality. And some people come to it and they're in that place, or they're just on one side of it. They're just in the light, or they're just on the other side where they're skeptic. But it's understanding that everything is a whole, and embracing everything about yourself, and then realizing how you can cope with those solutions. That's what I feel anyway.
Yeah. And that's all part of my work with helping people to have gain insights on what's happened in their unique journey, and to see how it served, and to see how we each have our own individual stress triggers, and helping people to identify those. And that's exactly what I do, helping them to, you know, keeping it real, of course, but also helping them to see that, you know, ultimately all will be well. And I've created some programs that help people to be guided through what they're going through in a very empowering way. And I have a free guide to offer your viewers, your listeners, I should say. And it's called the five Surprising Reasons You're Still in Pain. And they can get that from my website, which is my name, amberthorne.com. And if they want to, you know, book a time to speak with me, to discuss what's going on for them and their needs, I'm more than happy to have a chat and point them in the right direction.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Amber. I do love that. So that's five surprising, explain that again, five surprising ways.
Yes, to help you the five surprising reasons you're still in pain.
Oh, reasons why you're still in pain.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and my website has more info as well about, you know, what I do and how I can help.
That's excellent. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for the offer. So that's great that you'd have to listen to the whole podcast and come to that point of that realisation to get that offer. But thank you. That's so beautiful. And, it's so lovely talking to you. And before we go, are there any words or any quotes that you want to share with my audience before we leave? Anyone that's inspired you or helped you on your whole spiritual journey? I mean, you've mentioned so much with your meditation and also Qigong, but is there anything else that you want to say before we finish?
I would say that you can heal your pain and your health transformation is waiting for you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Amber. And I just want to say, from Tanya the Communication Doctor and Amber Thorne, adios.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. One of my takeaways from that show was that Amber was able to find her light from being a police officer to a meditation teacher. She was able to use alternative therapy to find that space to heal herself, and actually to find a point where through meditation she's able to have clarity, she can clear her mind and support her sleep and being able to find freedom in allowing herself to operate from a place of consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.